George Valiant is a Harvard psychiatrist on a mission. He's out to change the way we talk about spirituality, to take it out of the realm of sacred scripture and religious dogma, and instead ground it in hard science, specifically neuroscience and cognitive psychology. He lays out his argument in his book Spiritual Evolution, A Scientific Defense of Faith. Valiant says people are innately spiritual. But as he told Steve Paulson, this insight has been lost on the medical profession, at least until very recently.
It's only within the last 20 years that psychiatry and psychology have rediscovered the positive emotions, which are just as important as hate, fear, and anxiety. And these emotions, when you start thinking about it, are the same thing that we mean with the term spirituality, and they arise in the same parts of the brain, namely the limbic system in contrast to the instinctual hypothalamus or the Homo sapiens neocortex.
Okay, so you just laid out a lot there. Let's unpack that a little bit. What positive emotions are you talking about?
Well, St. Paul gave us three with faith, hope, and love. Faith being parsed as trust rather than belief, which underlies dogma. But you can then add to those emotions gratitude, forgiveness, joy, awe, compassion, all of which are hardwired in mammals and in Homo sapiens.
So to some degree, you are distinguishing between spirituality and religion. I mean, you're
saying... Oh, absolutely. You know, when you're playing with words, you can do anything you want with them, but let me just try to separate them out as black and white. If you study twins, separated twins, and twins who are raised together, religion is entirely a function of culture. Unrelated sibs raised in the same family will have the same religion. Identical twins separated at birth will be concordant for either high levels of spirituality or low levels of spirituality. Second, that religions almost all require an intermediary between us and our higher power, where with spirituality, you don't need a mediator to feel spirituality in a cathedral or on a mountaintop. And the third is that religions tend to be left-brain, verbal, dogmatic, whereas spirituality is emotional. You don't need words. It's often hard to express spiritual experiences. And yet, if you think of golden retrievers, they are models of faith, hope, and love.
So you're kind of down on religion is what it sounds like. I mean, you're saying it's a matter of belief, of kind of buying into some belief system or maybe some set of doctrines.
Oh, I'm not down on religion, but I'm very much in favor of connectedness. I think we have to live as one planet and to discover ways in which we're more similar than dissimilar. And the second reason that I make this difference is in psychiatry and psychology, the positive emotions are thrown out with the Richard Dawkins bathwater. And so that if you take a 21st century classic American textbook of psychiatry, there are hundreds of lines on negative emotions, hate, terrorism, sin, guilt, and of course, thousands of lines on depression and fear. And yet there's only five lines on hope, one on joy, and none on compassion, love, forgiveness, etc.
Mm-hmm. Now, you brought up the name Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist,
yes.
Who I'm sure would say that some of these positive emotions you've mentioned, love, joy, compassion, gratitude, are wonderful things. I don't think he would classify them as spiritual. He would say they're just part of what it means to be human. I guess I'm still sort of coming back to that question, you know, why do you want to use these as a way into our understanding of spirituality?
I mean, from an idealistic or I suppose a religious sense, it's because The positive emotions are all about the other. They're pro-social, but they're also, I am not God. And the negative emotions and the sort of mechanistic Dawkins or Dennett or Sam Harris approach is that I can figure this all out for myself. And as soon as we start thinking it's all about me, we lose some of the pro-social, let me use the word magic, that there's something beyond myself. There is a higher power, which may just be Mother Nature, but at least one has a sense of reverence for it. And to bring this closer to home, Ralph Nader says cars kill 100,000 innocent people a year, automobiles are terrible. And Richard Dawkins says, quite correctly, that religions kill tens of thousands of people a year, religion is terrible. And what Nader forgets is that to about a billion or 2 billion people, cars are quite handy. And what Dawkins ignores is to about 6 billion people, religion is a vehicle we have of pulling the very emotions up into consciousness that the psychiatrists and the psychologists ignore.
Let's talk about the brain here. You have said that spirituality is rooted in the limbic system, I guess what's been called the mammalian brain. Can you explain that?
Yeah. For the hundreds of millions of years that reptiles existed, the brain didn't expand. Evolution depended on size, teeth, thickness of skin. It was only with the evolution of mammals that evolution started to select for brain size. And the first dramatic difference between mammals and reptiles was that mammals developed the limbic system, which allows for selfless care of the young by the parents. It allows the separation cry, which conveys both attachment and the belief that if a mammal hollers, he or she is going to be brought back into the nest, where if a reptile makes too much noise, he ends up as his father's lunch. So that these basic mammalian traits evolved, and their importance can be brought home to the cortex, which is what the philosophers and the psychologists and generally rational people that take a dim view of spirituality and regard reason as the best thing that can possibly happen.
Reason, ideas, and science, all of that is rooted in the cortex.
It's rooted in the cortex. And yet, if you do the simple experiment of scraping off all of a mother hamster's cortex, she's real stupid in mazes, but she can raise her pups well. Whereas if you damage her limbic system only slightly, but leave the cortex intact, she can run mazes just fine, but she's a totally inadequate mother.
At one point in your book, you say the new science has liberated the positive emotions from the realm of mysticism and from religious dogma. Are you saying that we need to have a new understanding of spirituality that is rooted in science, that's not so dependent on traditional religious beliefs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, old Einstein, who was a pretty cool scientist, said the most important emotion for a scientist was awe, and to be without awe was to be a snuffed-out candle. And this, of course, is diametrically opposite from what Freud said, who felt that if you had awe, you were some kind of an infant.
I'm wondering if there's a larger quest for you that's going on, and that's to find scientific grounding for meaning and purpose in our lives. I mean, essentially looking to science so that we don't fall into nihilism.
Well, you're asking a very important question, which is where does meaning come from? The trouble with science is it takes us back up into the cortex. And I think that where meaning comes from is fostering and bringing positive emotions into consciousness. It isn't science, not science. It's positive feeling versus depression, anger, or just putting the clutch in neutral and obsessing about multiplication tables, which isn't any fun.
George Valiant is a psychoanalyst and research psychiatrist at Harvard University. He talked with Steve Paulson about his book, Spiritual Evolution.